this morning, and I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke and chapter number 16, Luke's Gospel chapter number 16 in your Bible this morning, Luke's Gospel chapter 16, and we'll be looking at starting with verse number 19, please, in your Bible as we read, you follow along. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is tormented, and thou art he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that it may testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. And Abram said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. All right, let's look, Lord, the word of prayer, shall we? Father, we just thank you for the word of God, and I pray that you will use it in our midst today. I pray that you would save that soul that would be here without Christ. We pray that you'd stir the heart of every saved person. You know the needs of each of us this morning, and we just trust you for blessing in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is not a parable. This is a real historical happening. Jesus doesn't call it a parable. Jesus gave parables before, so he knows what a parable is. Luke, the writer of Under the Inspiration of the Holy Spirit, doesn't call this a parable. The reason why they want to say it's a parable is because people don't want to believe in this fact of hell. They don't want to believe in it. And so they try to explain it away. One of the ways they do is say it's a parable. Well, this is not a parable. Parables never use real names. They never, you find the Bible talks about parables in other places in the Bible, but it's never where they have real names in them. You see, the names are given in this passage of Scripture. Names, Abraham, Lazarus, are used. So this is really speaking about the reality of a historical happening. Now, you know, a person that doesn't believe in hell won't be in hell 5 minutes, but what they'll believe it. You know, they will believe it then, 5 minutes after they're there. And after they die, if they aren't going to heaven, the Bible says they'll be there. So, you know, Jesus preached more about hell than any other subject. Now, that's interesting. You know, most churches don't hear much preaching on it. You know, most preachers don't preach on it. You know, but Jesus preached on it more than any other. You know, I really believe if he was to come hold a meeting here this week and he was holding the meeting, he wouldn't let the time go by what he would preach a message on hell. Now, you know, why did he do that? Because he doesn't want people to go there. You know, that's simple, plain, clear. He doesn't want people to go there. That's why he did. That's why he preached on it so much. More than the other great preachers of the Bible. A lot of great preachers of the Bible. Peter, Paul, you know, Jeremiah. You know, he preached more on hell than any other preacher in the Bible. Now, the title of my message, if you're into titles this morning, you know, I've never been a great title guy, but the title of my message is this, who cares if sinners go to hell? Who cares if sinners go to hell? That's the title of the message. I want you to note, first of all, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Now, in this passage of Scripture, you know, Jesus used the word torment four times. You know, four times. You find it in verse number 23, verse number 24, verse number 25, verse number 28. He uses this word torment four times. Now, that's a strong word. You know, you think of being in torment, that's not a comfortable thing to be in, you know, and it's a strong word. And, you know, if Jesus only used that word once, that'd be good enough for me. Yeah, that would settle it. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with hell, you know. But Jesus used it four times. Now, the Bible is a book that is accurate, it is detailed, and God never uses words to fill up space, okay? He doesn't use words that way. Many times in our conversation, you know, we'll use words to fill up space to get a before another thought comes. You know, for instance, that little phrase, you know, why do we say that word? You know, it's a filler-upper. It's a fills up space, you know. It's not that important, doesn't say anything, but it's a fill up space. But Jesus doesn't ever use words that way. The Bible doesn't ever use words that way. So he wants you to know and me to know that hell is a place that no one ever would really want to ever go if they really thought about it. It's a place of torment, the Bible says. Now, Jesus tells us the dangers of going to hell in the book of Matthew. Just one book. I want you to see some of the dangers of going to hell just in the book of Matthew. For instance, in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 28, Jesus says this, "Fear not them which kill the body, but aren't able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Say, don't fear man. You know, how many people don't get saved because they're afraid of what somebody will say? You know, there's a lot of people like that. And but the Bible says here, don't fear those who can't destroy your soul and body. I mean, that's all man can do. Fear him, God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus said in Matthew 13 and verse 42, listen to what he says here. He says shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, you have a furnace at your house, and I'm sure it's run quite a bit over this winter, right? I'm sure it's gone unnumbered. How would you like to be in that furnace for a whole day? Just be in that furnace that whole day. You know, I don't think anybody like that. But hell is a place of a furnace of fire continuously for eternity. People will be in a furnace of fire. One time there was a man that was operating a big old furnace that was involved in formulating the glass and heating up the materials that would bring the glass to pass. And as he was operating that furnace, he opened up the door and there was a man standing and looked into that furnace and he saw the blue and white and yellow flames leaping and he said, "Oh God, if hell is anything like that furnace, how terrible it must be." Hell is a place of a furnace of fire. Jesus has given us the dangers of going there. Say, the dangers of going there. Notice, if you will, he says in verse number 18, chapter number 18 and verse number 9, he says, "Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter in the halt maimed rather than having two hands to go or 2 feet to cast into everlasting fire. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." Jesus said, it's better for you, you know, go in there and just get your eyeball and just pull it right out and, you know, be without an eye. It'd be better for you to go do that than to end up in hell with both eyes, you know, or cut off your foot. It'd be better for you to lose a foot than end up with, in hell with 2 feet, say. So Jesus is warning us here. It's a warning. He's telling us the danger of people going to hell, he says. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 13, the Bible says this. It says in Matthew 22 and verse 13, it says, "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Outer darkness. It's a place of outer darkness. Isn't this a beautiful day? Sunshine, blue sky. Hell, there's no sunshine, blue sky there. You know, if you and I were be able to take an elevator into hell, you know, we'd probably hear someone say, doesn't someone have a match? Doesn't someone have a flashlight? Man, I'm so sick and tired of all this darkness, you know? Oh, I'll tell you something. One time my wife and I, we were in a church in Pennsylvania, and they said that they had some Indian caverns. It was the old river that flowed through a mountain, and it dried up, and they made a tourist attraction out of it. And Pastor, how would you like to go to the Indian caverns and, you know, take your kids and go down those caverns? And I've heard about the Carlsbad Caverns. I'd never been there, and I thought, well, that'd be a pretty interesting tour. And so I went, my wife and I and the kids, we went down this old, where this old riverbed used to flow through the mountains, and we got way down to bottom of the place where the river flowed. And the guide said, how would you like to see how dark it is here with all the lights out? I said, yes, I'd like to see that, but please stand by that light switch. I don't like darkness. Amen. He turned that. And I'll tell you something, folks, I've never in all my life sensed the darkness. It just gave me claustrophobia. It just moved in. It was like I was in a straitjacket of darkness, you know. And I'll tell you something, my kids began to cry a little bit, and I was glad they did because I was about ready to. I said, turn on that light switch, sir. And he said, okay. And man, he reached over and turned that light switch. Boy, I was so glad to see light. I'd never been so glad in my life, you know. And hell is a place. Hey, the danger of going there. What's the danger? You're going to be a place of outer darkness. No light whatsoever for all eternity. Matthew 25, verse 41. The Bible says this in Matthew 25. Remember, this is just one book of the Bible. There are many other verses that I could give to you that describes the danger of going to hell. But in Matthew 25, verse 41, the Bible says this. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. See, hell doesn't burn up. That's not what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. That's not what the Mormons say. But that's what the Bible says, it's everlasting fire. That means it's never going to burn up. People in hell will be there, and they'll never be consumed. Oh, I tell you something. You see, who cares if people go to hell? Jesus does. Because he's telling you about it. You know, he cares. If I saw your house on fire, and I drove by and said, man, oh, too bad that guy's house on fire. You know, he's probably sleeping, but, you know, I got other things to do. Would I care? You know, if I really cared, you know what I'd do? I'd stop and I'd come and knock on your door and say, hey, your house is on fire. Jesus cares. He cares. You know how I know he cares? He went to the cross. He went to the cross of Calvary, and on that cross he died for sinners. He died for us that we might be able to say we're all sinners. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. This means all. And we're all sinners. And Jesus died for every person on the cross of Calvary so they wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. You know, if hell's not real, why did Jesus do that? You know, people say, I don't believe in hell, preacher. Well, then, you know what you ought to ask him is, do you believe that Jesus came to the world? Oh, yeah, I believe he came to the world. Do you believe that, he went to the cross of Calvary and he died? Oh, yeah, I believe that. If they believe those two things, you back them in a corner they can't logically extricate themselves from. Why? Because if Jesus came to the world, yes, and if he went to that cross and died, yes, and there is no hell, will you please tell me why he went to that cross and died? Will somebody please tell me? You know, he cares. Secondly, not only does Jesus care, people who are sinners go to hell, but know something else. People already in hell care. Already in hell. Now, this man in Luke 16, if you go back there in your Bible, this rich man, you know, he had everything, you know, on this earth. He had everything. I mean, he had top shelf clothes. I mean, he didn't go to Goodwill to get his clothes. You know, he probably went down to the mall, and I'm sure he didn't check the price of the suit. When I go to the mall, I don't go very much. I go there, walk once in a while in the dead of winter. I don't like to go to the mall, you know, because there's so much wickedness all over the place. And, you know, my wife used to, when she went with me, she'd say, now, honey, just keep looking straight ahead. Don't look to the side. Don't look to the left. Just straight ahead, you know, because there's so much wickedness and immodesty and nudity, you know, and stuff. But, you know, but once in a while, I go to the mall, you know, and to walk, and I'll check a suit out. And you know what? I'll look at the price very first thing. This rich man never looked the price of any suit. He had the top shelf clothes. You know, he had the best food money could buy. I mean, he had steak and eggs, and man, have you ever had steak and eggs? You know, I don't know how that could be good for breakfast, steak and eggs. You know, it just doesn't go together to me. You know, eggs and bacon, you know, eggs and ham or something like that, but steak with eggs, anyway. You know, I tell you something, this guy had the best money, best food money I could buy. He had a beautiful home. He had everything. This, you know what? This guy gave no attention to heaven or hell in life. I mean, he never thought about heaven or hell whatsoever. All he thought about is how his stocks are doing, you know, or, you know, who's going to win the NBA championship in basketball this year. You know, he just thinking all these things. He never thought much about heaven or hell at all on this earth. But when he's in hell, all of a sudden he's thinking about his five brothers. He cares. He's got five brothers. And they're going to end up here in hell with him. And look at verse 28. He says, "For I have five brothers." Man, now he's caring. You know, he's in hell. He didn't care about hell and heaven on earth. But now he's caring a lot about it. And he's caring about five brothers that are following his example, who are following his influence. By the way, do you know that you have an influence on people? Every one of us have an influence. And one day you'll give an account to God for your influence. You know, I thank God my mother influenced me to go to heaven. You know how she did that? She got saved. And she told me, "Gary, you need to go to that revival meeting too." And I went and I got saved. I tell you, I'm glad that my mother influenced me to get saved. You know, it's a sad thing when a mother goes to hell, but you know, there's something worse than that. That is that she's probably going to influence some of her children to go to hell or grandchildren. It's a sad thing when a dad or a grandpa goes to hell. That's sad. But I'll tell you something, there's something sadder than that. That's when you realize that they're probably going to influence some of their grandkids or some of their kids to go to hell. Oh, I tell you something, dear friend, your influence is powerful. And this guy finally gets aware of the fact that he had influence upon his five brothers, and he lived a godless, careless life about heaven or hell. He didn't care anything about either one of them, and he made no preparation for either one of them. And now he's concerned about these five brothers down there. He cares. You know, folks, here's something that's very important. You need to care now. You need to care now about your neighbors, about your friends next door. You need to care now about your children, your neighbors, the people you work with. You know, parents are all concerned about their kids' education, but many don't give any concern about whether kids go to heaven or hell. You know, we want to see that our elderly parents are taken care of, but what about going to hell? What about those parents? What about our grandkids, our relatives? You see, folks, I tell you something. The most important thing in the world is where people are going to spend eternity. And you know something? This rich man finally cared about his relatives and their need of being saved. But you know what? It was too late for those fellas on earth, those brothers. It was too late for them to get saved. You know, why was it too late? You know why it was too late? I'll tell you why it was too late. Because of verse 29 of Luke 16. Look what the Bible says here. "And Abram said to them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." So what is he saying? They have the Bible. Let them hear them. See, it was too late for those five brothers up here on earth to get saved. Why? Because they had rejected the Bible. They would not listen to what God said. Do you know why people end up in hell? Because they don't believe the Bible. If you really believe what the Bible said about hell, what Jesus says here, you know what? You would not hesitate to come to Christ and get saved. You would not wait any longer. You would not say some other day, not now, I'm going to take care of that later on. Because only thing that's keeping you out of hell is a heartbeat. If you're not saved, and you wouldn't wait anymore. But you see, the reason why people wait, the reason why people say, "Oh, that's not for me," is they don't really believe in hell. If you really believed in hell, friend, you know what? Even if Christians believed in hell, you know what? We probably wouldn't go to work tomorrow. We get out in the streets here, we get out in the sidewalk, we start passing out tracts, inviting people to come to a revival meeting, and we would do all we could to get people to come to salvation. See, I don't really believe in hell the way I should. I need to believe in it more, and every Christian needs to believe in it more. We need a revival of believing what we say we believe. Maybe then we'll start caring about lost souls like we should. maybe then we'll start caring about that son or that daughter or that neighbor like we should, say, if we really believe. See, these people, these guys, did not believe in the Bible. It was too late for them. And then remember, here's what the rich man says. Remember, he says down here, but wait, if someone would come right up from hell and stand before him with the smell of the fire and stand right before him and say, hey, I just got someone they knew. Just got out of hell. It's real. You need to realize it's real. Get concerned about whether you're going to heaven or hell. It's real. Then they'd listen. That's what the rich man says here to Abraham. But Abraham said, no. He said, if they won't believe the Bible, they're not going to believe though one would come right up out of hell and stand right before them and say, hey, I just came out of hell. Someone they knew, you know, but it's real. You need to get concerned about whether you're going there or not. And, you know, they would believe then. And Abraham said, no, if they don't believe what the Bible says, they wouldn't believe though one came right up out of hell and stood right before them and said, it is real. It's not a cuss word. It's not just a joke. It's real. They wouldn't believe it. Say, they wouldn't believe it. They'd say, well, I had a dream last night, you know, and I saw this guy stand right before me. He said he was out of hell. You know, I must have ate too much onion and garlic before I went to bed, too much pizza or something. I had this weird dream. Have you ever had any weird dreams? I've had some. I thought, how in the world could I ever dream something like that? You know, it's just weird. But you know something? That's the way they'd explain it if someone stood right before them. I had this weird dream last night. Someone stand right before me and the hell was real. Oh, dear friend, this rich man, he finally gets concerned. He cares. See, people already in hell care about sinners going to hell. Thirdly, not only did Jesus care about sinners going to hell, and this man already in hell cares, but notice, if you will, godly people care. And in verse 29, the Bible talks about Abraham. Abraham was a godly man. The Bible says, Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You see, Abraham cared. Godly people care about people going to hell. That's why your pastor has revival meetings. He cares, you know? That's why we give out tracts. You give out gospel tracts? Because we care. We care. That's why we give our testimony to people about how we got saved. Why? Because we care. We care about people going to hell. Godly people. Now, carnal Christians don't care. Worldly Christians wrapped up in the world, you know, they don't care. They never witness. They never try to get somebody to come to church, hear the Bible preached in revival meeting time. They hardly come themselves. You know, they're carnal, they're worldly, they're all wrapped up in worldly things and worldly pursuits, and who cares about the preaching of the Bible going on there at the church at Spooner Baptist? Who cares about that? Man, that's not what I care about. I care about fun and games. I care about material things. Godly people care. Godly people. Abraham cared. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, one time was asked why he gave up his lucrative baseball career to go around preaching the gospel. And he said, come here, I'll show you. And he brought him over to a window overlooking State Street in Chicago. He says, see all those people there? See that lady pushing that buggy? You see that man standing in the corner selling newspapers? Yeah. These people are going to hell for all eternity. They don't get saved. See, Billy Sunday cared. When's the last time you witnessed someone? When's the last time you gave your testimony? You know, we get this idea that we got to know all kinds of scripture to witness to people. No, all we have to do is tell people what Jesus did for us. You know, just give your testimony. That's the most valuable thing you can ever do. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. Say, if you care, you know, you're talking about Jesus. You're telling people about the lost. You're telling people about how he saved you. That you were a dirty, rotten sinner on your way to hell and Jesus saved you. Oh, you say, preacher, I could never say that about me. Well, you better check and see if you're saved or not. Maybe you're not. Because you've never seen yourself as a dirty, rotten, hell-deserving sinner. See, that's what you are. That's what I am. That's what we all are. If we don't get saved, we can't ever be righteous before God apart from Jesus. There's no amount of righteousness that you could ever do to make yourself righteous before God. All your righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags, Isaiah 64, verse 6. So, you know, listen, the Bible tells us here that godly people care about people. You remember Abraham, how he was so concerned about Lot that he trained 318 of his servants. You read about in Genesis chapter 14, trained 318 of his servants. Lot had been taken captive by some wicked kings, and his life was in danger. He was in danger of being killed. And so Abraham was concerned. Lot was his nephew, and he was concerned about Lot. So he gets 318 of his servants, and he trains them to go and rescue Lot from these wicked kings. Now, you know, I think that probably took a lot of training. I think it took a lot of time to train 318 servants. Took a lot of equipment. Probably took some finances to train 318 servants. But Abraham did that. Why? Because he cared about Lot. That's why. He cared about him. You know, I think the reason why that Abraham cared about Lot is that Lot didn't show by the way he lived that he was saved. You know, a lot of people claim to be saved, but if you looked at the way they live, you look where they go on Sundays, you look at what they do during the week, you look at what they watch on TV, you look at how they talk, you know, you could come away saying, boy, I don't know, that guy says he's saved, but he sure doesn't live like it. Sure doesn't act like it. Sure doesn't talk like it. And you know, that's the way it was with Lot. Abraham was concerned about Lot because Lot professed to be a Christian. But you know what? Lot wasn't living for the Lord. He was very worldly and carnal. Gave his daughters to be raped by some ungodly men. Who would ever do that, being a godly father? Who would ever do that? Only a carnal guy would do that. If best, Lot was carnal. In fact, we are told in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, that Lot was saved. If it wasn't for that, I'd say he was probably lost. Never really saved. And Abraham was greatly concerned because he knew if Lot wasn't really saved, that those wicked kings could kill him and he'd be in hell. And he was concerned about his nephew. Are you concerned about your nephews? Are you concerned about your nieces? Are you concerned about your grandpas, your grandmas, your sons, your daughters? Are you concerned? See, Abraham, godly people care about sinners on their way to hell. Remember how Abraham was greatly concerned when God said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because it was such a wicked city, given over to all kinds of perversion. And God came down and told Abraham he's going to do that. And Abraham was very concerned. He said, Lord, if there be 50 righteous, will you spare it? Lord said, yeah, I'll spare it for 50. If there are 45, will you spare it? Yeah, I'll spare it for 45. If there be 40, will you spare it? Yeah, I'll spare it for 30. I'll spare it for 30. 20, I'll spare it for 10. I'll spare it for 10. Abraham was concerned about those people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because he knew that if they would be destroyed, they would go to hell because they weren't saved. They didn't know the Lord. And he's concerned. He cares. You know, I heard people say this, well, I'll tell you what, if God doesn't judge America the way we're going, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I want to tell you something, my friend. God doesn't have to apologize for anything he does. But I'll tell you something, I am concerned about America, aren't you? The way we're going. I tell you what, we are surely going down the path of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? God isn't going to let that kind of action go without being judged. Someday, I think it's already taking place, the way things are going in this country. Dear friend, you see, godly people care. Look at Moses in Exodus chapter 32 and verses 31 and 33. You remember how Moses, you know, he went up there to get the law. He's up there in the Mount Sinai getting the law, and he's up there quite a while, and the people get all upset, and they say to Aaron, hey, will you make us a god, you know? So they took the earrings that they had in their ears, oh, golden earrings, by the way, those earrings were there because of submission to God. Submission to God, earrings were in their ears. Most people wearing earrings in their ears is not because of submission to God, you know. But they took those golden earrings and they melted them and they formed this golden calf and said, here's your God, Aaron. Here's your God, he said to people. And, you know, they began to play. I mean, sensual activity. They just got all wrapped up in sensual sin and they're just filled with sensual sin. And God tells Moses, Moses, you better get down there. There's trouble down there. And Moses comes down and boy, the people are in revelry. And God says, listen, I'm going to destroy them all. I'll start with you. I'm going to destroy them all. And Moses said, remember he said to God, he said, God, forgive them. And if you won't then take my name out of the book of life. Could you ever say that? Could you ever say, God, if you don't save my dad, take my name out of the book of life? Do you care that much? I mean, Moses cared, didn't he? The book of life is the book that contains all the names of people who are saved. If you're saved, your name's that book of life. It hadn't been blotted out. Never will be blotted out. If you're not saved, your name's in there, but one day it'll be blotted out because you've never trusted Christ your Savior. But you know, Moses was so concerned. He said, Father, if you won't forgive them, take my name out of the book of life. Boy, I tell you something, that speaks to my heart. I sure don't care that much, I don't think. But Moses did. Godly people care about sinners going to hell. Paul did, the Apostle Paul. In Romans, in chapter number 10, in Romans chapter number 10, in your Bible, the Bible tells us there that Paul the Apostle says in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul cared about his people. And he says, you know, that's my heart's prayer, that they be saved. Over in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I say that verse number 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. You see, Paul cared. Why did Paul go into towns? Man, he went into towns, they beat him up, they threw him in jail. I mean, Paul the apostle suffered so much, you know. Why would he go through all that? He cared. Do you care? Do you have any care at all about sinners, people on their way to hell? There's something else I want you to say, and that is angels care. You know the angels care about sinners going to hell? The Word of God says in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 10, if you want to go back there, Luke 15 and verse number 10, the Word of God says, likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing that takes place in heaven, the most joyful thing, is when one sinner comes to Christ. Last week, we had a mother come to Christ and got saved. I'll tell you something, just one sinner getting saved, there's great rejoicing in heaven, the Bible says. In fact, notice it doesn't just say the angels there, it says all redeemed. It says in verse number 10, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels. Who's that? That's all the redeemed rejoice. Why is it in heaven that all those who are saved are in great joy? I'll tell you why. Three reasons. Number one, because they know the value of one soul. What should a profit man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Number two, they know the glories of heaven. They know how great it is when a person gets saved. They're going to know all the great glories of heaven for all eternity. And then number three, they have seen what they were saved from. Do you know that one day, Christian, if you're saved and you're born again, God's going to let you look into what you were saved from. God's going to let you look briefly into hell and see what you were saved out of. I'll tell you something. Isaiah 66, verse 24 tells us that. And he's going to let us look in there. And I'll tell you something. The only way I'm going to come close to hell is seeing what I was saved from. You know why? Because one day as a 16-year-old teenage boy, I came to Jesus Christ and repented. I got saved. Dear friend, I'll tell you something. Listen, there's great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner gets saved. Why? Because they have seen the reality and the awfulness of hell by seeing it by their sight. And they're so glad that that person came to know Jesus Christ. Just one. Even as a little boy, even as a little girl, just one person coming to know Christ. Why is it that we don't rejoice when people get saved? We ought to. We ought to rejoice. There's great joy in heaven. Then lastly, not only do we find that Jesus cares if sinners go to hell, and people already in hell care if sinners go to hell, and the angels care if people go to hell, and godly people care if people go to hell, but lastly, I want you to see, God cares if people go to hell. John 3:16, quote it with me, would you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God cared so much about people going to hell that he gave his only son. He didn't have many sons. He had one. And he gave his only begotten son. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, he says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Oh, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" God is pleading with people to care about their evil ways, that they're on their way to hell, and to care about themselves, about where they're going to spend eternity. You know, R.A. Torrey was a great evangelist. God greatly used him. Many people were saved under his ministry. And R.A. Torrey preached a message one time on the obstacles that people have to go over, to step over to go to hell. God has put obstacles to try to keep people out of hell. And he preached that message on obstacles that people have to step over to go to hell. I want to just give to you this morning some of the obstacles that God Almighty has given to keep people from going to hell, but they step over it. And they step over it, and that's why they go to hell. First obstacle is the Bible. God has given the Bible right here. This is God's GPS. This is how to get to heaven. This is God's word that tells you there is a hell and tells you there is a heaven. God's word. Oh, the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is something that we ought to read. The Bible is something people need. You know, wouldn't you think our public school system would be a lot different if we had the Bible back in it? We kicked the Bible out of the schools and we're coming apart at the seams as a nation. The Bible tells us that God wants to save the drug addict. God wants to save the homosexual. God wants to save the murderer. God wants to save the adulterer, the fornicator. The Bible tells us that so clearly. Oh, I tell you something. God puts the Bible as an obstacle. People have to just step right over the Bible and say, "I don't believe it. I don't believe that. It's just a bunch of hooey." And they got to step right over it to go to hell. Will you step over the Bible and just go to hell? That's what God puts in your way to keep you from going to hell, the Bible, all right? Secondly, he said, God puts in the way of a sinner going to heaven a godly mother's influence. You know, there's nothing more powerful in all the world than the influence of a godly mother. You know, a godly mother. R.A. Torrey, by the way, he was raised in a godly home. His mother was really, really a born-again Christian. And R.A. Torrey was like an atheist. I mean, he just didn't believe in God. He's just like an atheist. And, you know, one night he goes to bed with no more thought of heaven than jumping over the moon. I mean, he's just totally out in space as far as spiritual things. He's not even giving thought to it. But, you know, that night he was contemplating suicide. You know why? Because he was living a miserable life. His life was so miserable. And you know, as he's laying there in his bed, there is a tremendous, powerful influence that comes over him. And he drops out of his bed to his knees, and he repents of his sin, and he receives Christ as his Savior. Do you know that R.A. Torrey found out that that very moment when he dropped out of his bed to get saved, 427 miles away, there was a godly mother on her knees praying for her son to get saved. Oh, I want to tell you something, my friend. God puts in the way of people going to hell a godly mother. Are you going to step over the godly mother's influence? A mother who tried to lead you in the right way and told you about the Lord. Godly mother. There's another thing people step over. God puts this in their way to keep them going to hell. And that is sermons by preachers. You're hearing one today. Sermons by preachers. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people don't hear much preaching on hell. But sermons by preachers. My son, my middle son, Paul, was in a revival meeting that I had as a pastor in South of Pennsylvania. And we had a fellow come in there, a dear man, dear friend of mine, and he preached on hell. And that night, my son, Paul, came and he got saved. He heard a sermon on hell. You got to step over this sermon this morning. Oh, I'm going to just step. I'm going to go out and, you know, I'm not going to listen to that. You got to step over this sermon. See, God, you know, if you go to hell, my friends, that'll be God's fault. God's put all kinds of things in your way to keep you from going there. Say, you got to step over them all. You know, another thing you got to step over to go to hell? You got to step over the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, whenever I preach the Bible, there's another preacher present. That's the Holy Spirit of God. You preach the Bible and he convicts of sin. He convicts of the fact that you're not good, you don't have any righteousness to get to heaven, and he convicts you of judgment to come. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget the night I got saved. I went to a revival meeting. My mother invited me to go, and I'm sitting there, and I thought my mother told that preacher every sin I'd ever committed. My mother hadn't told that preacher one thing. It was the great Holy Spirit of God nailing my hide to the wall and saying, Gary, you're a sinner, and you're a first-class candidate for hell because of it. But Jesus died for you, Gary. And you can be saved from your sin. And I thank God I had two brothers sitting on either side. I tell you what, I had to battle. What were they going to think? But I said, I don't care what they think. I want to go to heaven and not to hell. And I slipped down that aisle as a 16-year-old teenage boy and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know why? The work of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that when I preach the Bible, there's another great preacher preaching. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, you're a sinner. This is you. If you don't get saved, you're going to be in hell. That's the Holy Spirit saying, he's got to do that. He's got to take away that blindfold of unbelief that's in your life and show you who you really are and show you that you need to be saved because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And then lastly, Ari Torrey said there was another thing God puts in the way of every person to try to keep them going to hell. They got to step over to go there. And that is God puts in the pathway of every person the cross of Jesus Christ. He puts that cross of Calvary in front of you and say, listen, Jesus died for you. There is a hell. He came and he went to that cross and he paid the price for your sin. He rose again and you just got to step right over and say, I don't care that he died for me. I want to go to hell. I don't care. God puts all these things in people's ways. That was what the message was that our A-Tory preached. Obstacles, people got to step over to go to hell. God's put obstacles in your way to keep you from going to hell. Bible says in John 12 and verse 47, Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, I came to save the world. See, Jesus will either be one of those two. He'll either be your Savior or your judge. The choice is up to you. If he's going to be your... Do you know this morning that Jesus is your Savior or is he going to be your judge? One of the two he'll be. You need to be sure that he's going to be your Savior, my friend. I wouldn't want to have a doubt in my mind about whether or not he is my Savior. I wouldn't want to have a doubt about it. Because if he's not your Savior, he'll be your judge. This is a true story. Years ago, there was a man who was on his way home. And there was a bridge that he had to go across to get to home. There was a river that the bridge went over. Well, there was a storm that came a whole day. And I tell you what, knocked out the lights. They had lights along that highway, along that road, on the bridge. They had lights, but it knocked the lights out. The only lights he had was the car lights. And he's going across this bridge, and he didn't know it, but the bridge was washed out. And he went right off the end of that bridge into that river. And miraculously, he's able to get out of that flowing river that is flowing extra fast because of the storm, and he's able to get out of there, and he crawls up on shore, and he's just so thankful that he's alive, and he thinks to himself, wait a minute, there's other people going to be coming across this bridge. I better warn them. The bridge is out. They could drown. And so he gets up there, and he's standing there, and people are coming, and he's yelling, he's waving, stop, stop. People just ignore him. They just keep going. They just ignore, don't listen to him, don't respond. In fact, one guy rolled down his window, and he was such an ingrate, he said, oh, go to hell. Do you know that they did an interview of that man who stood there to try to warn people from going off that bridge? And they did an interview. Someone interviewed him, and they put it in the newspaper. And in that interview, he told them that there was one guy who was so ungrateful that he was trying to warn him to keep him from going off that bridge, that he said, oh, go to hell. Put it right in the paper. There was a preacher who picked up that paper and read it. And you know what? He thought, boy, that'd be a great sermon illustration. So he told that story in his sermon that Sunday. And after he got through, a man came forward and he said, sir, that man that drowned, that said to you, go to hell, was my son. We tried to warn him. He was a wicked boy. He was going the wrong way. We tried to warn him, but you know what? He wouldn't listen. You see, that boy had some parents that cared, but he wouldn't listen to them. You know something? That man standing by that bridge cared, but people wouldn't listen. But I'll tell you something, there's somebody else that's more important than a parent, more important than a man. This preacher standing here, you know who cares? More importantly, God cares. God cares if you go to hell. Dear friend, who cares whether people go to hell? We've seen who cares. Jesus cares. Angels in heaven care. You know, godly people care. God cares. People who are already there care. Do you? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word.